Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back to Thompson to Clark. How was your Thanksgiving, Brad?
It was good. I'm just picking turkey out of my teeth because I just got home from work. And before I did the show, I was like, I need some protein. And I was like, well, we got leftover turkey.
Well, so. There you go. That's what it's good for, right?
Yeah, man. You eat turkey for like a week, right? I cooked a turkey at my parents' house. It was a 17 pounder. And we had had a lot of people over, but we got some leftovers and yeah, man, I love turkey. I love poultry and fish. Not much of a red meat eater anymore. So anytime you give me a chicken or turkey, I kind of can't stop.
Well, there you go. That works.
Yeah.
Turkey's good for the protein and it is very low on the fat scale there. So
yeah.
Depending on the diet, it works out well.
I do. I have a little bit of dark meat. I kind of splurge on the dark meat a little bit, a little higher in saturated fats, which are not good for me. But, you know, it's only so much of the white meat that I can eat when it comes to turkey. And then I'm like, that dark meat is looking kind of juicy and fatty. Got to have myself a piece. So, yeah, splurge.
All right. So, I was in Arizona hanging out.
Yeah.
With fam, doing that
long
drive Monday morning to Monday evening, then Friday morning to Friday evening. So lots of driving, but it was good. My kids were there. All my stepkids were there. My niece and nephew, my parents, my sister, my ex-wife. So the whole shebang was there.
Nice.
And yeah, it was good. Well, how was Thanksgiving for the Giants? I'm not sure it was great because
who knows?
There's some players out there who I think we have a realistic viewpoint of whether or not the Giants are actually going to make big splashes for these guys. But I wanted to bring up the big two, at least as far as the names are concerned. And we've talked about Kyle Tucker. We talked about him the last time we recorded. And my question to you is, 2 weeks later, are the Giants really in on this guy or not, in your opinion?
On Kyle Tucker?
Yeah.
That's a tough one, man, because we're getting all of this news the last couple of days that the Giants don't want to give big money to pitchers. Right? Mm-hmm. We'll get into that, I'm sure. But I don't know about the Kyle Tucker front because Giants fans and Giants brass know that the Giants have not had a big time, like, you know, star outfielder in quite a few years. Jung-Hoo Lee was a splash. They made him free agency. Hasn't panned out defensively yet as the center fielder they thought. I mean, he made some great plays. He got to a lot of baseballs. That are hard to get to, but we've seen from the metrics, he may not be a center fielder. He may end up being, you know, kind of a corner outfielder. And so getting a guy like Kyle Tucker to shore up right field and be that guy who could hit, you know, 30 to 40 bombs a year, steal you 20 bags, get on base, add him to Devers, add him to Adames. I just don't know money-wise. Again, I don't know. What was the predicted that we're looking at? 300 million? 400 million?
I've seen 400 thrown around.
Giants are afraid to give 200 million probably to a pitcher. So yeah. I think, and, you know, unless you look at it from this way, that we think we can get a lot of big bats. Mm-hmm. To drive in runs, especially on the road. I mean, this could be a killer road team if you add another monster bat. But at home, enough to drive in some runs to win some ball games. And in that ballpark, you can kind of get away with some short-term pitchers who would play well in the Giants ballpark, mm-hmm. in Oracle. So you save your money for the bats. I don't know, man. I would love for them to be in more on Kyle Tucker than a big time pitcher, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me, because I want to see a scary lineup. I want to see them go into Dodger Stadium with a scary lineup.
Yeah.
I want to see them go into, you know, Arizona with a scary lineup that could possibly hit 4 or 5 home runs in a ball game in that ballpark. We haven't had that in a long time, and I think we could have that if you add another bat like Kyle Tucker.
So the reason why I bring up this is because I think it was today, John Morosi from the MLB Network said that the Giants are one of 3 teams specifically mentioned as being interested in top free agent Kyle Tucker, but they will have to contend with both World Series clubs, the Dodgers and Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
And if you remember, 2 years ago, we were also contending with the Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays for another player who has turned out to be fantastic for the Dodgers, and that was Shohei Ohtani. And I'm not saying that Kyle Tucker is going to be as valuable as Shohei Ohtani, but you have 2 teams who were in the World Series who are also looking for his bat in the lineup. And so you're in good territory with the teams that want him. But history has shown that the Giants are usually the runner-up, or maybe even the second runner-up, in races for guys like this. And they have already said, and we'll talk about this in a second, they've already said, at least the reporting has said, Andrew Baggerly, we'll talk about his article that came out today, that, you know, they're probably not going to sign any starters for long-term contracts, for big money, obviously. You don't sign the long-term contract for small money. And so they kind of poo-pooed that very early. And, you know, we're barely in December, and it's like, okay, well, now we know where we're shopping at. We're going to Savers for our starting pitchers here. So then you go, okay, well, what does that mean? Does that also mean that they're not going to sign, they're not going to go big game hunting for offense? Because of maybe my trauma with free agents of the past,
yeah,
I kind of had to have a hard time believing that they're going to be able to go toe-to-toe with the Blue Jays and the Dodgers for Kyle Tucker. But if you just let Kyle Tucker very easily go to the Dodgers, you're just further creating distance between yourself and the team that is above you in the National League West. So this is kind of a hard one for the Giants. Should they contend for Kyle Tucker? I say yes, but they're a little, I don't know how hamstrung they are. They have money, but if you look into things, one Farhan Zaidi gave Blake Snell a contract to where they are still paying Blake Snell this upcoming season. They are paying Bob Melvin. They had to buy out Tony Vitello. They are paying Tony Vitello. So there is money that is not even really counted against what we look at their numbers are. So it's a tough one. And if you're Buster Posey, and if you're trying to defend yourself by saying, well, yeah, like, you know, we may not go after the biggest fish this year, but we went after two of the bigger fish last year, and we traded for a giant fish in, you know, during the season. So we added big players. Thus, if we don't go after Kyle Tucker this time, like, it's not because, you know, we already did a lot of that work. Now, that's not going to make the Giants fans happy or not, especially if he signs with the Dodgers. And I think that's the frustration, is knowing that, you know, you're not only, you know, you're not only trying to sign a guy possibly for your team, but you're also trying to play keep away with that guy because of the fact that, I mean, if you're Kyle Tucker and the money's out there dollar for dollar, you're probably going to the Dodgers. Why wouldn't you? Right? Like,
well, and I think there's an unknown variable in here, though. Number one, are the Dodgers going to want to pay full salary for a guy like Kyle Tucker? Are they going to offer him, you know, big time deferred payments mm-hmm. over the years is what they're doing, you know, with everybody else. Do they have the money to give him $40 million a year right now? I mean, they're the Dodgers. They probably do, but do they want, like you said, do they want to be hamstrung? Do they want to have that salary on the book? So they offer him a deferred salary. Is he the type of guy who says, yeah, I want deferred salary so I can win? Or is he the type of guy who says, no, I want to get paid. Like, mm-hmm. I want to get paid. I still want to play for a winner, but I also want to get paid. So that could be a variable. That's just kind of an unknown variable at this point that we don't really know what's going to happen in that case. I wish we had more information on stuff like that, you know, and in the next collective bargaining agreement, maybe we will have more information on that. You can only offer X amount of deferred money. It can only be maybe 10 to 20% of the contract instead of 90% of the contract or 98% of the contract almost is what Shohei is getting deferred later on down the line. I'd personally like to see something like that because then it's a little bit more of a fair playing field, not that the Giants couldn't offer, and they did. They offered Shohei the same thing, mm-hmm. Deferred payments down the line. But I think more fair playing field is in us fans have a little bit better idea of, well, is this a reality for this guy to come to us? Is this a reality for him to probably go to a different team? Mm-hmm. Do we really have a shot, or is it a team that can defer 98% of the payments? Are they going to win out? So I think that's kind of where it plays in a little bit.
And, you know, I think it's going to be like this for every upcoming offseason. And it has been like this, where the Giants are just kind of like in the mix, but they're not clearly in the mix for everybody. And they can get the Adamas and Chapmans, who are maybe the next level away from that tippy top tier free agent, but they're living in those spaces, and it's going to take trades like what Buster did with Devers to get the top of the line players. And it's probably going to take getting back into the playoffs, maybe for free agents to see them a little differently, because free agents don't go, oh, 2010. I remember that. No, they don't. They're like, no, I was 8 or I was 10. You know, like, what do I care?
Yeah, exactly.
But
well, and I mean, you're looking at a come to an 83 win team or an 81 win team or a 79 win team and make us a playoff contender.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be exciting for some guys. We've seen lately, though, you know, Blake Snell. No, I want to go to a ready-made winner, and I want to go there and pitch 11 games during the season and then pitch in the playoffs and win a World Series. So there's some easy way out, guys. And we want to see, you know, is somebody willing to come to the Giants to push us into the upper echelon and, you know, be a Cincinnati team that sneaks into the playoffs, mm-hmm. but maybe not even sneaks into the playoffs, but solidifies us as a playoff contender year after year, because the National League West is tough and iron sharpens iron. And so you're going to get to play in the best division in baseball. As we saw last year, you're going to get to get in there and battle and be a team that comes out and you're battle tested and ready. I'm not going to say their name, but the National League West team has won the World Series the last 2 years. And we won't say their name, but either way, that represents our division.
Okay, so the other big story, we mentioned the Andrew Baggerly story. This has to do with Japanese starting pitcher Tetsuya Imai. I've actually haven't seen any television to hear how his name is pronounced. So I'm
same, yes.
Baggerly wrote that according to club sources, because of a number of financial considerations, the Giants do not anticipate making the nine-figure investment required to sign Imai, or any of the other top pitchers in the free agent market. And we talked about some of those last time. Ranger Suarez, Framber Valdez, who's the one that I think would be just a perfect fit with this team. And then he wrote, instead, the club is focusing on more modestly priced alternatives. They expect to sign at least one starting pitcher, and they plan to add to their bullpen beyond the $1.4 million agreement in place with left-handed reliever Sam Hentges, who they just signed in the last couple, or last week, I think. And he also mentioned, but after splurging on a $182 million shortstop, Willy Adames, last offseason, and taking on more than $250 million while trading for corner infielder Rafael Devers in June, their current preference is to limit their spending to short-term deals, which means they are going to be shopping at Savers, like I said. And, you know, if you really believe the team can find players who may not, you know, Mike Yastrzemski is actually a fantastic example of this. They shopped at the basement aisle to get him, and he turned out to be a fantastic player. But how many of those players actually come to fruition like Yaz did? Not that many. Like, you'll see, right. You know, you look through the history of Giants rosters and there will be names that you're like, oh man, I didn't remember that guy. And then you realize he was only there for like 1 year. And so I think it's a little risky to do that. I think what I hope it means is that they have faith in the current roster and that they believe that there are guys due for bounce back seasons like Elliot Ramos. You mentioned Jung-Hoo Lee. By the way, I was listening to FP Santangelo's podcast, Splash Hit Territory.
Okay.
And
I haven't checked that one out yet.
Susan Slusser is on it from San Francisco Chronicle. She's on it most weeks. It's really good. Like, you know, there's some of it is FP's a little bit of a rah-rah Giants guy. Played for the Giants.
But we need that. We need that.
For sure. Also worked for KMBR, so he's done broadcasts and stuff. But he gives the player's perspective, which is great. I love listening to the player's perspective. Susan is a fantastic reporter, so she gives the reporter side. She's also pretty close to a lot of the players because she covers the team. And so very nice. It's a nice, quick listen, too. It's like, you know, most of the shows are like 40 minutes. But they were talking about Jung-Hoo Lee's defense. And he rated out 27th out of all center fielders in defensive metrics. And they also mentioned that, you know, he only stole 10 bases and in 13 attempts, and that, you know, they wonder how much of at least the stolen bases was just due to getting to know the league, because this was his first full season. He missed most of the season his rookie year.
Didn't really get a chance to settle in 100% last year.
But so I say that to say, if Buster believes that Jung-Hoo is kind of on the cusp, and maybe he believes Elliot Ramos is going to have a bounce back, and you have Bryce Eldridge coming up, and you have Rafael Devers with the team in the full year, and you have third year Matt Chapman, second year Willy Adames, and you're like, look, we invested, we have equity in this team from decisions that we made last year. We still believe those decisions were the right decisions, and we need to let that play out. Before we go big game hunting and change the financial structure of this baseball team, we have to really see what we have. And then maybe the idea is next year before the deadline, you know, that would be another way to get in. But I do wonder, how much does it hurt to at least be publicly involved in some of these deals? It's one thing to lose the deals, but it's another thing to just before free agency really even gets going. Dylan Cease made crazy money with the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
He is not a guy that I wanted, if you heard our last podcast, but
not for that money.
No, but I don't know. Does it hurt the Giants as a team in this market to lose, Or does it hurt them to just not be involved at all? Like, I don't know the answer to that question, but it's just kind of interesting that they're like, nope, we're out. And Baggerly heard that from somebody and he sourced it and probably heard it from multiple people to go to print with it. It just seems like the Giants are functioning unlike a team in a giant market. And I'm not sure what that tells the fan base or what that tells the free agents who, you know, who are out there going like, oh, man, I thought the Giants would kind of be in on this. Like, they're, you know, they want to compete. Why are they not involved in, you know, in looking at what I can bring to the table or whatever?
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster, and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Yeah, that is a tough one, and I think more than any... Buddy, now me as a Giants fan, you know, us as Giants fan, for me personally, I read the article and I was like, well, that kind of sucks. because I was hoping we were in on him.
Yeah.
I wanted a pitcher out of Japan. I think it's good for the city. I think it's good for the team. I think it's good for the sport. To have the top Japanese pitcher maybe come and choose the Giants.
Yeah.
And to go against the powerhouse Dodgers, who are full of Japanese players now. I thought that would be kind of fun. I thought that would be exciting. Obviously, I would love to have another, you know, top line pitcher to go along with Logan Webb and Robbie Ray. I thought that would be great. I think more than anybody, it probably hurts Scott Boras, mm-hmm. since he's his agent. I think that kind of hurts him for the Giants to just, and they didn't come out and say it. This is from a source in the Giants. And I trust Baggerly. I mean, he's a great writer and he's a great reporter. And I don't think he's one. Now, if this was just on some random website, I would have said, yeah, I'm not going for this. But the fact that Andrew Baggerly, felt enough to actually print it, I thought, okay, this is legit. It's happening. So yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer, but I think it kind of goes with the Giants theme the last few years in free agency, that we are not going hard after starting pitching, mm-hmm. especially long-term 7-8 year starting pitching. In the article too, it also talked about how the Giants Buster Posey specifically is not wild about signing players with opt-out clauses. As you see,
right,
we do not have Blake Snell on our roster right now. We are paying Blake Snell,
yeah,
as if he was on our roster. So that is kind of a bummer. And I think Buster Posey does not like that. He wants to pay guys to be here. So Scott Boras is an opt-out guy, and he has been the last few years. So I think that plays into it more than anything else, not so much the long-term deal. I think the Giants are probably willing. Like if Framber Valdez, I don't know who his agent is. It's probably going to be Scott Boras if I look into it. but let's say he has an agent who isn't, who doesn't want an opt-out clause. He wants a 6 or 7 year deal. Maybe the Giants might be in on that. I don't know. We don't know 100% until we see it. So it is pretty interesting to get that news right now, though.
Yeah, interesting, most definitely, but also a little sobering, right? Like, not, and it's not that we believed that they were getting any of these guys. Like, we know better than to just be like, oh, Giants are getting, you know, all these guys 100%, no doubt in my mind. Like, that is not us. Like, we know the reality of the situation, right? That until they prove that they're going to be one of the better teams, it's going to be a little hard. And it has been hard since they won their World Series. And, you know, even when they were winning the World Series, they weren't able to necessarily attract the big name free agents. They were able to draft well, and they were able to make some trades. And that helped, you know, that was their way. That was their key. And that would, it'd be great if they could get back to doing that. They wouldn't got to worry about these free agents, but not necessarily the case right now. All right. So there is some news. There's some small bits of news coming out of the last couple of weeks that we were off. They non-tendered Joey Lucchesi. And we were kind of wondering why, because he was very cheap. And they were like, well, because we're going to get somebody else who's actually a little cheaper. And Sam Hinch, just like we said, and they signed him to a 1-year contract on the 27th. We lost the Niz, Andrew how do you pronounce the name?
I think it was Kisner.
Kisner.
So it just went, just Kisner.
They designated him, non-tendered him. He was up with the team in different times over the year as the backup. And then they acquired Joey Weimer.
I think it's Weimer.
Okay, I was right the first
time.
Back
when he was playing for the Brewers, I believe it was Weimer.
They acquired him from Miami for cash considerations. He seems like a Vitello guy. He seems like the kind of defensive player that they are looking for. I don't know if he's going to hit, but he was drafted by the Brewers in the 4th round in the 2020 draft out of Cincinnati. He was a top prospect right away after his 2021 minor league season, power and speed kind of guy, but then coming up to the bigs hasn't really had that pop-off season yet. And then last year hit a robust 204, which made him very expendable. So they're giving that this could be one of those moves that we were talking about, right? Which is, you know, can you find a guy who needs a spot, needs a better place to fit in, or maybe a little bit less pressure or whatever? And that may be them right now. So, that move happened, and then I don't think we mentioned this one, but they finally got their pitching coach, Justin Message, and the funky spelling of Message is M-E-C-C-A-G-E. Former pro back in the day, which is kind of scary for us that, you know, he was drafted in 2002, and we were already post age of being major league draft player available.
Yeah, I was an old guy already by then.
Yeah. And so, you know, obviously he had some success. I think a lot of people think he had some success with who's the Miz in Milwaukee.
Mizorowski.
Mizorowski. And so he comes to the Giants from Milwaukee and is a Vitello guy as well. So those are the last bits of news as far as acquisitions and hirings for the Giants. What did you think of both of those?
You know, I think that's good. I think the Giants could use, obviously some fresh eyes, especially on the pitching side of things. There's going to be a new pitching staff, basically. And I was looking at some of the free agent listings here. Some of the starting pitching that's available, and you're looking at guys like, and we talked about them last show, you know, Chris Bassitt, Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Scherzer, Zach Eflin. Those are the guys you could probably get on a 1-2-3 year deal. So to have a fresh pitching coach to kind of go along with that, and especially the bullpen, it's going to be redone. Starting with Henkes. And that's a good deal. I like that deal. $1.4 million for 1 year. You get a lefty because you're probably not going to have Lucchesi back. I still would love to see Tyler Rogers come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know the success he's had, and I'm sure Buster Posey, you know, knows that would be a great signing. Sign him to a couple-year deal. I think that would be great for the bullpen. And so to have a guy like Message in there who's been in Milwaukee Brewers organization, who's seen a lot of, spot starts and starting pitching and bullpen changes and whatnot throughout the years, I think it's going to be good. It's so hard to tell. I mean, we don't know. We're going to know about 2 months into the season how we feel as Giants fans. Is this working? Is this not working? Are you going to feed us a line of garbage that it's going to get better if things start out really poorly? That's going to be the hard part, and we'll be the critics of that as Giants fans, as eyes, on the game. I think our eyes are going to be more on Vitello than they are going to be on anybody else. Mm-hmm. Pitching changes and different things happening late in ball games, substitutions. How are they running the bases? How are they, playing the game? I think that's going to be more of our focus, but I think we're going to be looking at, bullpen usage and starting pitcher usage, pretty early on as well, with a whole new regime in the dugout.
All right. I want to share some comments from a viewer who joined us last time. I'm going to share all three because I think there's a sentiment that is kind of coming from the fan base once listening to or reading Baggerly and others. So George says, Greg Johnson's not a winner, doesn't have a competitive bone in his body. As a Giants fan who wants the Giants to shop at the dollar store and try and sell tickets like we are shopping at Neiman Marcus? The Giants owners need to stop claiming poor. They got Devers and traded Hicks. We are only paying $15 million more this year. We need two starting pitchers, two relievers, a closer, and a setup man. We also need two impact bats. Giants are still $60 million under the luxury tax. Even with paying Snell, we can't get the players we need. Get at least 3 or 4 players. Why can't they go over the luxury tax? It's really embarrassing. And finally, he says, if the Giants sign Devin Williams or Robert Suarez at $17 million, Tyler Rogers at $10 million, Michael King for 23, that is 50, and they could even then trade for Stephen Kwan or Joe Ryan. So all of those things are very doable if that was the if the onus on the season was we're all in, this is the year, we need to make the playoffs, we need to compete for a title. Those are all moves that you make, but in creating a pathway for success, for growth, for your scouting to do a lot of the work, for your GM to do a lot of the work, that is putting a lot of eggs in one basket, and especially determining and using free agency as the way, which is, as we know, is not always the way that teams get better. So but I'm with George. Like, I understand the frustration with a lot of the fans right now based on how much or how the amount that Greg Johnson is willing to spend. And, you know, he's not the only one with skin in the game. He's the majority owner, but he's not the only one. There's a private equity piece involved. And, you know, but at the same time, like you said, you've said in the past, you know, I don't care. Like, it's not up to us to determine whether or not they can spend the money. Like, it's just,
right.
You know, we just want to see a winner. So, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the fans. And like I said earlier, we'll decide if it's a success or not. Not from the inside. If you're, you know, if you're 20-20 in your first 40 games and they're telling us we have all the right pieces in place and we have the right, you know, coaching staff and everything, we'll decide that. We see what's going on the field. And believe it or not, we're the experts. Exactly. How much baseball have we watched over the years, and how many winners and losers have we watched over the years? We know what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And you could tell me I'm going to see something else, but I'll let you know.
Yeah,
for sure.
All right. Anything in baseball that you wanted to chat about? We talked about Dylan Cease. That was one that I would not have done because I just like that seems like a very Glasnow-y move, and I feel like Glasnow's had a better career than Cease, or at least, you know, at least he's had a couple of better years than Cease.
What I hate about it is that it set the market for starting pitching this season, this off season. That's what I don't like. And I'm kind of mad at the Blue Jays right now for doing that. I'm looking at last year's deals. So Dylan Cease has a lifetime 110 ERA plus, but he only had a 94 ERA plus last year. So he was below average. And then you look at the deals that were done last year. So that's a, you know, what's that an average of? And again, I'm not going to get into the, you know, how much is it per year? Because, you know, sometimes the deals start out a little bit lower and then you go, let's just go AAV. That's $30 million a year for a guy with a 110 ERA plus and a 94 last year. And he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous because you start looking at guys who have AAVs of around $30 million that signed last year. Max Fried, 8 years, $218 million, AAV of 27.25 per year, a lifetime ERA plus of 141, and he had a 142 ERA plus last year. So now you're looking at Max Fried as a huge bargain. Right. But I don't want to have to see teams go to sign Framber Valdez, who's worlds better than Dylan Cease, I think, and all the numbers think as well. And he's going to be breaking the bank. I mean, so that's where the Giants are out.
Yeah.
Because when you start looking at those types of numbers, you think the Giants are going to be out on a guy like Framber Valdez because his agent was looking at Dylan Cease's deal and he's showing other teams Framber's numbers and he's going, all right, we're topping that, aren't we? And then you started looking at other deals from last year. The only other guys who were bargains last year so far, Nate Eovaldi, 35 years old, 3 years, $75 million deal with the Rangers, 106 ERA plus. He had a 211 ERA plus last year in 22 starts, still 2 years left on that deal, $25 million a year. Matthew Boyd signed a 2-year, $29 million deal, and he's 34 years old, a 95 ERA plus, $14.5 million a year. $14.5 million gets you a 120 ERA plus last year. And you're looking at other guys who are not bargains. Sean Manea last year, same deal as Nate Eovaldi, 3 years, $75 million, lifetime ERA plus of 100. He had a 72 ERA plus last year, just an abysmal year. Blake Snell again, stealing from us, stealing from the Dodgers, lifetime ERA plus of 130, had a 177 ERA plus last year, but only in 11 games. He's got 5 years, 182, so that's $36 million a year. Corbin Burns, another one. He was the big one last year, right? 6 years, 210 million. So it's 35 million a year. Lifetime 132 ERA plus, had a 163 last year, but only pitched in 11 games. So I think that's probably where the Giants brass also sees those numbers. And they're like, you can give gigantic deals to guys who are, you know, with big ERA plus numbers in their lifetime career, but it doesn't mean as they get older that those numbers are going to stay there. Those numbers are just going to come down.
Yep.
Three out of like the 10 that I looked at last year were bargains. The rest were, you know, you could have given that money somewhere else. So if you give that money to a guy like Kyle Tucker, who, you know, year in and year out is probably going to perform, as opposed to a pitcher who is going to be up and down most likely, I can see where the Giants are looking at that and saying, yeah, let's give the money to a batter. Let's give the money to a hitter, to a fielder, somebody who's going to run the bases and stay off of a guy who's going to pitch every fifth day. And let's go get a guy for 3 years, 3 years, $75 million, 3 years, $70 million, who can give us an ERA plus of 105. You know, that's kind of a bargain when you look at it. So,
yeah. Well, all right. So I think the, there actually has been some activity. We can just go through some of this stuff. I think Cardinals traded Sonny Gray to the Red Sox. It looks like they're trying to trade Arenado next. The Mets traded for Marcus Semien in exchange for Brandon Nimmo. That was an interesting trade. And then also some relievers are off the board. Raisel Iglesias is back with the Braves, and then the Orioles sign Ryan Helsley. There's stuff bubbling, but you know, nothing. I think people are just waiting. Cease was a big one to come off. Schwarber, Tucker, those are going to be some biggies, and that's when you know things are going to happen. I think a lot of folks are waiting for those big dominoes to fall before we see more activity.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and Bo Bichette is out there. Bregman, Alonso. I mean, God, there's so many big names.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to start happening soon, I would imagine. A lot of these guys, too, I think we've seen over the last couple of years, a lot of these guys want to get locked up and be done with before the holidays hit. They don't want to go through Christmas not knowing where they're going to be and not knowing where they're going to set up shop and have to buy a home and all of that stuff.
So, yeah.
So we may see some movement here fairly soon.
All right. Well, for you and me, we'll play this by ear. If there's news coming out next week, we can be back next week. If not, we may take a week off. It'll all be dictated by what goes on. But I do want to have an episode before Christmas, because I think my idea, and I'll let you think about this, kind of preview it here. We'll each pick three players for the other person, and what do we want that player to get for Christmas to improve their season for next year? So it could be, you know, if you are a fan of trying to think of somebody. If you're a fan of Casey Schmidt, you could say, well, I wish him a more consistent bat, because if he had a consistent bat, he'd probably be an everyday player, right?
We could save some money in free agency. We wouldn't have to be
Your starting second baseman. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because he's locked up. I mean, he's a young dude. He's locked up for many years to come with arbitration and everything else going forward. So, yeah. I like this. Yes. Let's do this.
Yes.
Let's
we'll do that before Christmas, but we'll figure it out if we'll be back next week or not. If you're looking for some stuff to happen, maybe the Giants make a move here or there, and then we'll come back and talk about it on Monday. All right. For Brad, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.